You have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here, back with Pedro Rojas, and this is the after show. Pedro, how was the first part? Did that feel like a good conversation from your end?
It felt like a great conversation, as always. You know, kind of went on a little bit off the rails, but definitely enjoyed it.
Well, and here's the part. This is what I tell everyone: there's no podcast police, so we can do whatever we want. We can talk about whatever we want. We can follow whatever trails around the forest we want until, you know, we come back. If we come back, if not, we just end up somewhere else, and that's okay. That's what I love about having a podcast and conversations like this is you never know where it's going to go, even if there's a plan. And you know, it's always valuable. Always my rule for anybody that knows me that I've talked to about a podcast, like my rule is as long as it's valuable for somebody listening, and then as long as you and I are having fun, whatever happens, happens, right? So let's dive into the after show questions. These are the ones that just like to have as a separate thing, kind of a fun conversation after a little break, take the pressure off of the main conversation. So the one I always like to start with is when you think of what it will take for advisors and intermediaries, business brokers to be successful in 5 years, which is now 2031. What do you think it will take for them to be successful and or survive?
So, I mean, I'm still going to hold to my guns and mention doing the basics. Mm-hmm. The industry still needs a lot in order to get there. You know, many of the brokerages that are out there, you know, you're ahead of the curve if you're using a CRM tool, just to put it to you this way. So, which is something that many of the brokers they don't use, some of them they do it, but they're not even optimized, or the ability to have the data structured in an appropriate way, which is very basic in some of the industries, that still doesn't happen within business brokerage. Obviously, we can get into the whole AI, you know, that it's out there. And it's true. You know, there's plenty of tools out there. I probably use five different AI tools that they can help me from brainstorming for marketing campaigns, to actually have agents out there doing things for me, to creating financial models, to create investment memorandums, to create websites, legal documents, you name it. You know, definitely that's something that you need to integrate as a human being in order to be relevant in the next few years. But keeping at the core that the basics, they need to be solid. And to be more specific, with the basics is you need to be able to store data and be actionable with the data. You need to be able to pick up the phone within 5 minutes of receiving a call. And you need to be able to follow up automatically with your leads. If you're not doing that as a broker, you're behind already.
I love that part. And the second question is usually around tech, right? And you just addressed the most common one right now, which is the topic of AI and using those tools. I think it's interesting because whenever I've dealt with sales teams, sales and marketing teams in the past, when I was doing consulting, is, you know, a lot of times to be like, hey, what better technology should I use? Do you think I should change CRMs? Like they had one. Should I use this? Should I do that? And it's like, no, because I promise you're probably not even using the one that you've got, right? Instead of getting a new toy or a new thing, actually use what you've got and do the fundamentals, do the basics, as you're saying, and have that foundation. And then the tool matters, right? It's funny because the example I always use is golf. Is you could give me the fanciest, most expensive, high-tech golf clubs out there, and I still suck. I'm still a terrible golfer, right? And so it doesn't matter because my fundamentals are so poor that it doesn't matter what I'm using, right? A golf club from Goodwill or a very expensive driver, it almost doesn't matter in my hands. Versus, let's say, Tiger Woods, especially in his heyday, you could give him that driver from Goodwill or the clubs from Goodwill or a thrift store, and he will destroy me all day, every day, because his fundamentals are so good. The tool doesn't matter until he's playing against other professionals, and then the tools and the optimization matters, right? Like you're talking about earlier in the first episode, over optimizing. So it's interesting, you know, going to your point, it's like those fundamentals matter more than the other stuff. And then the other stuff has to layer on top.
Yeah. No, I think that we are 100% in tune with that. One thing that I would say, so we are also speaking about what brokers will need in 2031, right?
Yeah.
So if I will be making a technology recommendation, it is not about any specific tools, but about the capabilities of the tools. And I believe that the tools that they are going to thrive are the ones that you can connect with other tools. So, you know, there's a tool for everything right now, anything and everything. At least the ones that they're helping me the most are the ones that I can interconnect. And I, for example, use Zapier, which allows me to, you know, do workflows from tools that they're not connected to one another. That capability needs to exist within the tools because they cannot operate in a silo anymore. Yeah. If they're operating in a silo, that's a tool from the year 2000, not from the year 2021.
Yeah, it's so true, right? And then the higher level is a multi-purpose tool, right? Something that serves multiple purposes. So you don't have a ton of tools. And the best example I can think of as you're talking, like this jumped in my head, is if you watch commercials, you go online, you do any shopping, you go to stores, like if you're thinking about kitchen items, there's so many weird specialty kitchen items they're trying to sell you that does one thing, right? All this thing does is pull out seeds from an apple, right? It's like, okay, but now you have that on the shelf or in the drawer. Right. Now I have this one thing that all it does is this one thing. And it's like, if you had unlimited space and unlimited budget and you're okay with lots of clutter, like that's great. Otherwise, you want something that does multiple things and works well to make your life simple, right? It shouldn't make it more complicated. It should make it more simple. Which is how I think of the tech tools as well. If you end up with this like wide tech stack that's all playing by itself, even if it's somewhat connected, it's like you have too many tools in the toolbox and it's going to be hard.
That's right. Having multiple tools also require a lot of maintenance. So if you have to build your own tools, you know that whenever they break, they're expensive to fix.
Yep. And with tech, then especially if it's not your thing that you love the most, because this is the challenge, right? We're talking about brokers. If you love the tools and the technology, it's probably easy for you, but most people don't, right? Maybe they're business people, they're salespeople, they were business owners in a past life, or they were, you know, buy side transactions like you. It's like technology might not be their primary thing that they love doing all the time, which means when it breaks or it's not working well, it's only going to cause frustration. It's not going to make you happier or give you something to do. Be like, all right, cool. I can't wait to spend my weekend programming Zapier connections and fixing all my things.
You're right. But I do think that I want to be stern on that point because I don't think that people right now, people in 2031, they have the luxury of not liking the tools. They don't have the luxury of not being tech-enabled because if not, you will be left behind, period.
It's very true. I'm glad that you brought that up, right? So it's the balance between like you don't love it. It's not the thing that makes you happy, but you still have to do it. Like fundamentally, you've got to your point, I love that phrase, tech-enabled. You have to be tech-enabled. You have to have that as a part of the thing. Even if you have someone on the team that doesn't, you have to understand it enough. And then keep your tech simple and integrated and functioning well.
Well, I think that right now it is an absolute necessary skill. At the very least, business owners or self-employed people, the ones that they need to either develop or use different tools or understand what they need, you need to be literate with the technologies that are out there. Because if you're not, you're just going to be adding a lot of junk that you don't need. And you will not be able to speak to the people that they are the techies, right, so that they won't are going to install and build things for you. So you will have like a language barrier with them. You need to understand what is it that you need and be dangerous enough so that you can think on that. Because if not, it's just going to work against you. And you cannot afford in this day and age to not be taken in.
Yeah. And it's something you and I spoke about offline where, you know, if you don't have the technology, if you don't have the process, the systems, you don't have some level of automation, you don't have a CRM, like if you're trying to do a thing on spreadsheets or yellow legal pads and keeping track of things, there is a fundamental limit to how much you can accomplish in a given week, right? There's only so many hours. Even if you work a crazy number of hours, you will max out whatever it is that your client and revenue potential is. Now, it could still be a very great number, but there's going to be a limit and it's going to feel like it's a perpetual thing. And so, like you said, being tech enabled is a requirement in order to scale or take some of the pressure off the manual stuff or to make sure you don't drop, you know, drop things, right? Like the good leads that hit your inbox or hit your phone and then you forget. And then 4 days later you call and they've already moved on. And then what did you miss out on? Yeah. All right. So let's talk about it. And maybe in the same vein, this is interesting, is when you look at 2025, last year, what was the biggest lesson you took from that? That you learned last year.
It was really the automation and systems that they were needed to put in place. Because I had a couple of events where my processes they broke, and they were due to good outcomes. So I think that we spoke about this over the phone. I had one listing at the beginning of 2025 that within 24 hours, I got close to 200 buyers for that. So it was very, very successful, right? But at that moment, I had a very manual process for the NDAs, for the outreach, for the follow-ups. And that, I remember, I posted it on a Friday afternoon. It was on a Friday morning, and then it got approved on a Friday afternoon. And these platforms typically take a few hours in order to do the listing so it can be posted out there to the public. And by Saturday noon, I had these 200 buyers. Wow. I remember spending the whole Saturday and Sunday processing, you know, emails and NDAs. And I was thinking to myself, I cannot do this. I will not let myself this happen again, right? So on that moment, and that was, I believe, in the month of January of 2025. That took a lot of my focus for the rest of the year. So, and the challenges in the industry is that, as we spoke before, it's kind of like a taboo, hush-hush, kind of opaque industry. Mm-hmm. There's not many tools out there that are specific for what we need to do. So many of the tools that I'm using now, I have to develop myself. And that takes time, that takes effort, that takes money. You know, it's almost like another day job. Now, God bless Claude AI. It's one of the best things invented, basically. You know, you can ask it to develop a tool and they will do it for you. So, I guess during this past 2025, I have done my number of reps when it comes to technology that now it's fairly easy to do, but it wasn't like that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. And I just want to add a side note for people listening to this. So, you know, let's just imagine you're listening to this, you're a business broker, M&A intermediary. The one thing that I've learned and the one thing that I always suggest, because it seems very overwhelming, if you're listening to Pedro and like thinking about the stuff and thinking about maybe what he's built and this and need a CRM, and like it feels overwhelming. The best thing I do is wait until there's a challenge or a problem or something that feels manual or that I do repeatedly, and then just optimize or put in technology or system for that one thing, right? Don't try, as like they say, don't try to boil the whole ocean. You know, just do the one thing. And then the next time something comes up, figure out how to optimize that. And then play the long game, right? It's the compounding effect. If you do that every day, a little bit every day or a little bit every week, and you do one thing, if you look at, you know, 52 weeks in a year, you'll have learned a lot of skills, you'll optimize, you'll have technology, and your business that you're in will be completely different in a year versus today. And you just have to, like, I think, what is that quote? People overestimate what they can get done in a day and underestimate what they can get done in a year. Like, just chip away at it, but solving a problem. I do that all the time. It's like something comes up, this feels terribly inefficient, I'm going to build something for it, and then now it's done. And so I think that's a good way to do it.
Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up. They scan your name, they search your LinkedIn, they read your last few posts. And in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in four ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember, you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation.
I'm going to build something for it, and then now it's done. And so I think that's a good way to do it.
And it's absolutely right. It's, you know, don't build in preparation, build out of pain. You know, it's,
yeah,
the pain will tell you what you need to build.
It's one of those things. Don't, you know, like, just a go-to market strategy as well. Don't solve problems that don't exist. Like, don't create a solution and search for a problem. Just, I promise.
I think that was Elon Musk that he said that in one of the interviews, that one of the biggest problems for engineers is that they automate things that they shouldn't be automated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not necessary. And then what happens is you're automating things and putting in layers of complexity that weren't necessary, that are probably, especially when they break, to your point, once they break, it's only going to make things worse.
If you're listening to this and thinking, I want this level of authority, I just don't have the time to build it, that's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. And that's what we build for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and authority signals, everything you need that we've talked about here. So if you want this impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it would look like for your business. Now back to the episode.
Yeah, it's not necessary. And then what happens is you're automating things and putting in layers of complexity that weren't necessary, that are probably, especially when they break, to your point, once they break, it's only going to make things worse. So for you then, you know, we're a couple months into 2026. When you think about this year, what are you excited most? Is it just on this tech enabled path and that, or is there anything else for this year?
No, so obviously, keeping on that path, definitely getting more integrated with AI in general. You know, it's, I think that at the very least on my end, 2025 was the year of getting immersed within these technologies of artificial intelligence. This year is more about getting technologies integrated within the system. But I'm actually even more excited about their relationships. So as we spoke at the beginning of the podcast, I am not the broker that has been in the game for the longest time. I've only been doing it for 2 to 3 years. And something that for me has been very eye-opening, it is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Word of mouth is a real thing, and you don't even know how it works. But there's a... it's for me before, you know, I've been buying businesses for a decade or so. And many of the business holders, they always mentioned like, oh, word of mouth, like there's people that just find me and things like that. And for me, that was almost like, wow, you really got lucky, right? And many of the business owners, they don't really do, you know, the ones that have been in business for 30, 40 years, chances are that they're not doing any marketing. Chances are that they're just in the community, they're just there, you know, and the customers are fine. I think that right now that's, I'm hitting that curve. That people that I have met many years ago, now they start reaching out, saying like, hey, I'm actually ready now. You know, I wasn't 4 years ago, I wasn't last year, but can we start having a conversation today? So I'm more excited about that because it's almost like a compounding effort. Right? You start with like very, very little of that, and then it suddenly starts bubbling up.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. And it's always fun to be in that inflection point, that tipping point where like the relationships and the word of mouth and all that starts building and then generating the referrals or stronger relationships or new connections and things like that. Right. It's like planting seeds that you don't know when you're going to get something from it, but it does. And when you do, you know, you have the harvest that you're getting from it. And I think that's fun. I can hear in your voice. That's exciting. Cause again, you're new-ish to business broker side, but you've been a part of the game for a long time. And it's like, you know, where does that start really taking into effect and then shifting from, let's say, cold introductions or new people finding you to the referrals and the introductions and the warmer ones, like where the trust is already built. And then it kind of switches.
You kind of felt at the beginning, like, hey, trust me, I can do this. So I know that you're good at this. Can I work with you?
Yeah. Yeah. That's always a tough one too, is getting the initial clients or doing it and being in a new business where it's like, you know, and I know what I'm doing. You just need those first few people to trust you. And then once you have that, then, you know, the confidence, then the credibility and the proof comes. So, when you, last question, which we already talked about, it's fun because I know that you know this is coming. If you had a magic wand and you could wave it to handle one marketing thing, get one marketing thing taken care of automatically or something, even in your tech enabled, Pedro world of focusing and integrating, what would you use that magic wand, that wish for?
Yeah, so to have more conversations. So I was going to mention something like, you know, to be able to teleport or to be able to have that can definitely help, you know, but to be able to have more genuine conversations, you know, I think that is what every broker needs. I have some friends that are brokers, and sometimes I look at them weird, and because of some of the responses, which I say, yeah, well, I don't know if I want to, you know, open up my calendar to people because, you know, like the meetings might not be worth it or things like that. And I'm very surprised about that because I use these calendar links so people, they can book me. And yeah, they're everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. And yes, sometimes I get one or two trolls out there, right? Or some people, it doesn't even match what I'm trying to do. But for the great part, I have great conversations. And specifically, although obviously I need buyers in order to process transactions, but typically, you know, my clients are typically the sell side, but I really enjoy conversations with buyers. Because many of them have super interesting stories. The sellers do too. But I have spoken to Navy SEALs. I have spoken to trust fund babies, to monarchs from other countries that they are deploying capital. It's super interesting conversations. And if I wouldn't have been just open to have conversations with any and anyone, I wouldn't have had them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's always a fascinating dynamic when someone's very conservative with their time, worried about their time, and really almost over-indexing the value of their time in a monetary way and not understanding or playing the long game. And that, you know, it's sales, and sales means you gotta, you know, kiss some frogs until you find the right one, and you're not gonna close them all. But then, you know, it, to your point, if it's building relationship, your goal is to get to know people, build relationships, and see where possibilities could be. You're having calls with buyers. Obviously, that's not your target. You put them in your CRM, or you think about them later on, and how can you connect them, you know, connect the dots versus the people who are playing the scarcity game, which is, I only have so much time, I'm not going to waste it on tire kickers, but I don't know who is the tire kicker, so I'm just not going to talk to anybody, or I'm going to make it very hard to get access to me.
I think it's like that over-optimization type of conversation.
Oh, yeah, back to that one. Yep.
Back to that one. It's the anxiety of, I'm going to have those problems in the future, but they might not be real.
Yeah. And what I would say to the people who are worried about that is you have your, you know, my previous mentor taught me this, you have like the time that you get paid for and the time that you don't get paid for, right? If you're thinking about it. And then if there's time where you're not getting paid for, how can you use that and move more to the other category? And if that's the case, you have a bunch of that available, then how do you make that available on a calendar or have more conversations until it tips the other way where you have less of that time? And then that's okay. Then that season you have less, or you figure out some way to, you know, put a system in place or some barriers, make it a little bit harder for people to get to you, right? A couple more hoops, a couple more questions in the form that you then, you know, can decide. I know years ago, there was a few people in my network where to have a meeting with them, I would fill out the form, I would suggest some times on their calendar, and then they would have to approve it. So there was another step where they had to approve it wasn't automatic. And, you know, I always got approved, but I could imagine that was also a filter saying like, maybe not, but I'm going to put you here instead.
That's interesting.
Yeah. There's always a way, right? When you get too busy, that's the thing. Like, just like in sales in general, business, when you get too busy, then you raise your prices, and that will offset being too busy. That usually helps as well. So, all right. Well, Pedro, I've appreciated this. This was a great after show. I feel like we could just keep talking. I told you in the gap between the shows, when we took a quick break, I always take notes. And I have taken a lot of notes from this. I've enjoyed this. There's a lot that I got from this that hopefully people tuning in got. You know, with this year, with what you're focused on, with your content, I know I mentioned your, you know, links and all the ways people could find you in the main show. What would be the best way when you think about, like, if there's one place people should go to interact with you, find you, you know, whatever thing you're putting out there in the world, what's the best thing for people?
Yeah. So it really does depend on what is it that you're looking to do. So definitely if you want to get a hold of me, my website probably is the easiest, quickest way to do. If you want to get some free information about not just business brokering, but about how to sell businesses, more about operationally, about the clinics, something more educational, go to my LinkedIn. If you want to see more about me as a person, go to my Instagram, and then you will be able to see that. And there's also YouTube is getting some steam. I got my first few subscribers in the past few weeks. So you will definitely start seeing a lot more content there. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. Instagram is where they can go to see the dog that we heard earlier, I think, in the first episode.
That's right, yes.
So if you like business brokers and or dogs, go check out the Instagram. It's funny, you and I were talking about that, like in the different channels and what's appropriate and different stuff. I think it's fascinating. I think that, you know, the fundamental thing is people like doing business with people. Yes, I know the full line is that they know, like, and trust, but it's all people business. It's all relationships. People like to do business with humans and people they, you know, feel like are human, not just a robot or not just a salesperson. So I appreciate about you, Pedro, is you know, putting all that out there, doing the different content, even how you segmented that and where people should go, which I absolutely love. So once again, Pedro, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here. Thanks everyone else for tuning in, Pedro. Appreciate everything you shared here today.
Thank you for having me.
And for everyone tuning in, please make sure to like, subscribe, share, follow Pedro. if for some reason you made it all the way to this after show and you haven't listened to the first episode, which is funny because I know a few brokers I've heard from, they mostly only like the after show. Go back and hear the main episode. I promise it'll be worth it. There was a lot of nuggets that Pedro shared. Super valuable. And as always, until next time, stop hoping for deals and start growing your pipeline.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.